We're going to study this morning what it means to be a man. So, you ladies, relax. We're going to pick on the fellas today. We're going to put ourselves under the microscope. But really, many of the scriptures that we'll read today and the concepts that are put forth in God's Word apply to everyone here. There will be a few scriptures that apply solely to the men, some that apply solely to those of you who are fathers, and solely to some of you who are, solely to some of you that are, husbands. I'd like to pose the question to you ladies, young, adult, elderly, what's your idea of what a man should be? You young ladies who may have a husband in the future, what is your idea of what a man should be? You young men, what kind of man do you want to be when you grow up? Have you ever thought about that? What's our idea of what a man should be? Now the world will give you several different versions of what a man should be. You may have something that's solely based on the way a man looks, his charisma, his physical appearance. It may tell you that you need a 6-pack abs and you need to have broad shoulders and a 30-inch waist, a 5 o'clock shadow. Blue eyes, whatever. It may tell you that. Certain segments of society will tell you that to be a man, you need to rule your house with an iron fist. You need to be dominant. You need to be, for lack of a better word, aggressive. You need to be a man's man. Other segments of society, which have come along in the last 2 or 3 decades, and gain dominance in this culture, will tell you that a true man is a man that's in touch with his feelings and will accept the behavior of everyone. You're all inclusive. You're all accepting. But I think that it behooves us to set aside the world's view of what a man should be and look to the one who created man on what a man should be. Every man here has failed. We've all sinned. We've fallen short of being what a man should be at one time or another. And I've been reproved many times for falling short of that. And while at the time I did not value it sometimes, that reproof, I resented it out of pride, out of, well, he's doing it too, that type of thing. I've grown to cherish that reproof. And I believe it's a blessing to be checked by godly men and women. Whether it be your brother, your father, your grandfather, your grandmother, your mother, your wife. Because godly reproof is a very valuable thing. I remember the first time that I was really reproved as an adult was by my grandpa Red. And this was during the time period a few months after he had his stroke. So he wasn't really fluent with his speech yet. He could sing, but he was kind of, you know, stuttering with his speech. And I was 21 years old. I just made the front cover of the sports page in Abilene, Texas. And I'd take my wrist from wrist to elbow and tape, and I'd got a black Sharpie marker, and I'd put Red Dukes on it, playing that game for him. And they took that picture, and in that picture it showed that Red Dukes on it. So I got him a copy of it, and I brought it back home to Allison. You know what Grandpa told me? He said, "That's fine. I thank you for that. But you know what? You hadn't been living right, and you better get straight. You ain't been living a godly life." That's reproof, and it's a very valuable thing. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 8, "Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning." Proverbs chapter 15, verse 31, "The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding." Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 12, "As an earring, as an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear." Very valuable thing to be reproved. Men of God, you know, young boys and girls, for that matter, are influenced by their fathers and their grandfathers and their brothers and their uncles. I remember what I thought it was to be a man. I spent a lot of time up at Grandpa's tractor implement there in Allison. And I liked to hang around, play with the tools and what have you. I looked up to Beverd and Garland, Clyde Jr. and Uncle Bob. They were always kind to me. They always belonged in my mind to this group of young men. They were always kind and always tolerated me. I looked up to Bob. I thought he was the strongest man in the world. I seen him pick a big old rack of tractor weights up one time and set it on a table. I thought, man. And then there was another group of men that were older. Joe, Grandpa Red, I looked up to them. I thought they walked on water. And you know, watching these guys, I never will forget they'd take a break from work and they'd go across the street to the diner. And I never will forget them letting me drink coffee with them. I didn't like coffee. I didn't like the taste of it. But you know what? It meant, man, I'm a man. Young men learn from their fathers and their uncles and their grandfathers. It's a fact. So when we think of men of God, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Is it Abraham? Is it David? Is it Moses? It is said that David was a man after God's own heart. This is true. Is it the apostles? They're all good examples. But there's one better yet, Jesus Christ, the prime example. The prime example, perfect in every way, sinless. He's the role model. He is what a man should be. First Corinthians chapter 11 verse 1, be ye followers of me even as I also am of Christ. That's Paul speaking. First John chapter 2 verse 6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. Matthew chapter 16:24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Jesus Christ is the prime example of manhood. Godly manhood. One thing Jesus Christ was about was his Father's business. Luke chapter 2 and verse 48. And when his parents saw him, this is his parents, and when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye have sought me? Wist ye know that I must be about my Father's business? The will of God. John chapter 6, verse 38, Jesus says, For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Jesus Christ was about his Father's business, and he was about following his Father's will. Point blank. Jesus Christ provided. He was a provider. Physical food, spiritual food, most of all. We as men, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied faith and is worse than an infidel. We're to provide for our families. We got to make sure that they have a house, they have clothes and food to eat. But you know what? We got to provide spiritual food. We have to be teachers. Jesus teaches. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. How can you teach your family if you don't know the Word of God? And if you don't know the Word of God and you're teaching your family, what are you teaching them? Furnished unto all good works, asked Christ. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Those of you who are fathers, let me take a step back. You men have a duty and a privilege to teach the world around you and those you come in contact, not only by your words, but by your actions. You that are fathers also bear this. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 22 and 6, Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. It is a privilege to teach our children. It is a duty to teach our children. How does a child learn? Of course he learns by what we tell him, what comes out of our mouth. But you know what? They learn by words, but they learn by actions too. If you tell them one thing and they see you doing another, what are they going to follow? Guy was telling me, he said, man, you won't believe what my little boy said. 10 years old, come home, he'd got licks at school. Why'd he get licks? Because he called another kid a little cuss word. So he comes home, dad said, Well, you know what it is. The rule in this house, you get licks at school, you're fixing to get them at home too. Why'd you get them? Because I said this. Well, can't do that. Got to accept your punishment. But daddy, I heard you say it. See what I'm saying? Kids learn They learn from how we act. We are their role models. Now, we've had many discussions here in the studies on Wednesday nights about what a man of God should be. There's a study group. They call themselves the Badge. It's a bunch of DPS officers and Capitol Police and sheriffs. I've been privileged to be a part of this. And the question keeps coming up. What are the qualities of a man of God? And it irrevocably, almost every time this subject is brought up, there's guys that will talk about, what about drinking? You know? Jesus turned the water to wine. Yeah, he did that. No doubt about it. They'll always bring this one up too. 1 Timothy 5 and 23. Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. Can't deny it. That's what it says. So what happens in this culture today that we live in if a brother or sister sees a man go into the liquor store and come out with a couple bottles of whiskey and sees a fellow brother doing this? What happens? It's open to possibility. But what happens when the kids see their father do this? Are they going to imitate that later? Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, immolations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So we're told over and over that drunkenness is a sin. So the question is, where is that line? Where's the line? Can it be seen between, because this is where this discussion always goes. What's the difference between, what's a little wine? Is it one cup? Is it two? Is it three? Where do you pass over into drunkenness? Is that line visible? If it is visible, here's another thing to consider. The influence on our children. Because they see what we do. And every day at school and around their peers, as they grow older, junior high, high school, college, they're going to be told, have a beer. Let's have a drink. It's going to happen. It's already happened. So does it make it easier to enter into that conduct if they've seen their father doing the same thing? That's a question to ask ourselves. Romans chapter 14 and verse 21. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. We bear a responsibility as Christian men. We do. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Do we offend the children by our actions? This just didn't apply to drinking. It applies to many things. We're just using this example because this example comes up so often. It comes up often in our studies with people as we travel, in our counsel with brothers, in accountability amongst the brethren in the church. It's a very common issue and bears thought. Jesus was brave. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like a man. That's what it means. Be brave. Be strong. Do everything with love. Everything that we do as men must be done with love. Let all things be done with charity. Charity in this sense is the Greek word agape, which means goodwill, benevolence, brotherly love. We're to do everything with love. Teach, provide, discipline. We do it all with love. Husbands, very familiar verse here. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the savior of the body, therefore as the church is the subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. I'll be the first one to tell you here that I don't consider myself smarter than the women in this congregation. As a matter of fact, there's probably several of you that are smarter than me. But this is the word. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Would you die for your wife? The smart answer here is yeah. Nod your head. She's sitting right beside you. In all seriousness, I don't have any doubts that all you men here would die for your wives. I have no doubts about that. In my mind. The question is, do you live for her? Y'all remember Truman Till? People used to marvel at him because every time they saw him getting out of the car or getting into it, he was opening the door for his wife, letting her in, shutting it. Young guys would marvel at, man, look at him. Boy, he really loves his wife. And he'd always joke. He'd say, nah, it's just that her door's broken, you know. But the truth of the matter is he loved his wife. So, do our wives respect us? Are we good men? Are we godly men? As we should be? We have a duty and a privilege to our wives. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing by that It should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Lead your house. Lead your house. Your kids are depending on you to lead your house, and your wife is depending on you to lead your house. And it's not about ruling with an iron fist. It's about love. It's about fulfilling the duty that God has given us. Joshua chapter 24 and 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. It's a declaration. It's a verbal declaration, and it's a declaration that's backed up by action. I'll tell you a sad story. We were down south this summer, and we were sent to visit with a brother who had fallen to periodic attendance of services, that type of thing. His son, I believe, was 17 years old. Do you remember? 17, 18 years old. I can't remember. He was strung out on dope. He was selling dope. He had a warrant out for his arrest. Running from house to house, hopping from house to house, running from the law, from city to city. He had a daughter that was 15 years old. They had just given birth to a son out of wedlock. She was on dope too. Had another son that was just drifting. I believe he was 12 or 13 years old. His wife was the one that introduced the dope into the house. She was baptized. Went to church. We went over to visit with this fella. And just laid it out on the table. This is what it is. Do you believe in Christ? Yeah, I believe in Christ. You know, I've been baptized. So what's this all about here? He said, I don't know. He said, I raised my kids the way I should have. Is that right? Because when the truth was all told, this was the type of guy that, oh yeah, he believed in God. And he would go to a bar and get drunk and start preaching about God. But his kids saw that. He saw his actions. He said one thing with his mouth and he did another thing with his actions. And they emulated that. He allowed his wife to bring dope into the house. Our duty and privilege as men is to stand for God. It is to lead our homes with love. Finally, everyone here, we all can measure ourselves as men, and you can all measure us too. You will know if we're men of God. How will you know? By our fruits. Matthew chapter 7 verse 16, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. These are the fruits. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. If we're godly men, that is what our fruits will be. If we're not, well, what kind of influence are we going to have if we're not? What are our kids going to be like? What are our spouses going to be like? How does the world see us?